time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And as always, we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today at Lindsay Street, Primitive Baptist Church. We appreciate your presence, and I trust most of all we're thankful for the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts that gives us this desire to meet together, to bow before the God of our creation and the God of all grace, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have several that's passed away in the last few weeks. We've just learned about Sister Janie Hilton's aunt just passed away, and Brother Terrell's brother, brother-in-law, it's Sister Terrell's brother, and Brother Terrell's sister's real sick with cancer. It was Sister Terrell's brother that passed away. And Sister Alice Cobb is sick this morning, usually meets with us, and she said she hated to miss, but she just didn't feel like coming. Brother Robertson visited with Brother Livesay in the rest home, and he said he was doing very well this morning. Brother Clyde visited with him a couple of days ago, and he didn't seem to be doing too well that day. So we want to remember these as we go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to ask Brother Clyde, if he will, to Brother Robert Smith, is he sick? Brother Robert and Sister Rena Smith. Brother Robert had, he said it was a type of a heart attack. He's got a blockage, and he was in the hospital most of this past week, but he is home now. And Brother and Sister Smith used to sit right there. And I knew Brother Robert was getting old. I didn't know he was 90 years old already, but he's doing, I think, as he says, he thanks the Lord every morning that it's as well with him as it is. And so we hope that, I believe the doctor said he wanted to have him, that's balloon, angioplastic, is that what they call it? And but he doesn't, said he's not going to do it right now, I believe. But anyway, we want to remember Brother Robert. He told me, when was it there, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday we visited with him, and he said, I hope to hear you preach Sunday. So he was hoping to get to come to church, but he didn't get to come. We are sorry. Let's turn to number page 152, 379, Hungry, Faint, and Poor. And after we sing that, we're going to ask Brother Clyde to lead us in prayer. And we hope that you will be blessed to pray with him as he leads us in prayer. Brother Gene and Sister Gene Hogan are with us today from Flat Creek Church. Brother Gene has been speaking for, over a year and a half. Yeah. And he's not ordained yet, but the church has given liberty to go and preach wherever there's ordained help. And he's been up to Pine, and we've been serving with him there at different places for this past year. And we feel like that Brother Gene's going to be a blessing to the old Baptists, and we try to remember him in our prayers. So we're going to ask him to come and preach for us, and as time permits, while we'll close out, but try to pray for the dear brother as he comes to speak to us.
Heavenly Father, as we come to thee this morning, the best we know how, and realize, Lord, within us there is no good thing. We come, Lord, realizing we just don't know how to pray as we should. Lord, we pray that you just teach us how to pray and what to pray according to thy divine will and purpose to grant us. Lord, we pray your blessing to be upon this service here this morning. Pray your blessing be upon each one that's gathered here. Pray that you'd especially bless these preachers as they come to preach the precious word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd be with them in a special way. We pray that you'd help them just to rightly divide the word of truth and just give them liberty of thought and speech. And maybe we'd be acceptable to hear the word of God into our hearts. And maybe be doers of the word, not hearers only. Lord, we humbly pray you just go with us through the remainder of this service. And we pray for the sick and afflicted, wherever they may be. Lord, we only pray that I would be with them and comfort them, and if it can be pleasing unto you, that I would just raise them back up and restore them back to a measure of health and strength to be according to your precious will. Now, the Lord, we just pray that you'd prepare us what you have prepared for us this day. Yes, ma'am. These blessings we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Certainly, I indeed count it a privilege and a pleasure to be with this church this morning. Been looking forward to it for some time. And I trust this morning that the Lord might bless us for a few minutes to hear from the Word, the written Word, that it might make our hearts rejoice. And some good tidings that's brought to us by the preaching word. Scripture has been resting upon my mind. You'll find in the Roman letter. But there's one other scripture that I thought of a minute or two ago, and I want to read it to you. You'll find in John the 14th chapter. He says, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." Have you thought about what this is saying? If you shall ask in my name, it shall be given unto you. I tried to pray on the way up here this morning that the Lord might bless me for a few minutes with His divine spirit, that I might bring forth something that would be glorifying, something that would be edifying, something that would be glorious. What I thought of was Jesus Christ. He's both Lord and Savior. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. What greater thing in this world to talk about than the Son of God? But how can we talk about the Son of God? As Paul says in the Roman letter, the 8th chapter, how can we please God in the flesh? How are we to worship God? We're to worship God in spirit and in truth. Not in the fleshly tables of the heart. The whole 8th chapter of the book of Romans is dedicated to this one thing. Scripture, too, has been resting upon my mind. I trust that the Lord might bless me a few minutes, and I sincerely desire an interest in your prayers. Because that a man that stands in this place has to be led by the divine spirit. If I was to come and stand before you this morning without the spirit, and I trust that the spirit might be with me. But if I was to come and stand in the fleshly tables of the heart, I could only bring to you things of the flesh, which would be appealing for a little while. They would be soothing for a little while, but it'd be gone. By the time you walked out the door, the fleshly things that would please you now would be gone. But if by the divine spirit of the Almighty, that I'm able to bring to you something spiritual, something that comes from on high, that precious manna that comes from on high, that feeds your hungry souls. If that was to come and feed you, it's something that won't fade away when you walk out the door. It's something that it'll stay with you all week. I thought about this, the children of Israel in the desert, in the wilderness. And God fed them each day from that manna on high. He told them to take as much as needed. We come to church on Sunday or this meeting house and gather in the Lord's name, trusting to be fed. If we were to come back again tomorrow, the grace that God gives today would be sufficient for us till tomorrow. That's what He told the children of Israel there in the wilderness. Take as much as needed. But on the Sabbath day to lay up in store for one more day. Well, in this instance today, you need to store up what's today to last you till you return again. Whether it be tomorrow or next week. Take as much as needed. For the grace is free. It is free unto us. It is for us. I wanted to bring that up, but what I had in mind this morning, you'll find in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Paul in the 6th verse says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. As I was saying to start with, you cannot worship God except in the Spirit. Now we know that the Spirit that's given unto man is not something that we have done to obtain. It's not something that we've done to earn. But it's a gift. For the calling and the gifts of God, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So we see that we don't do anything to receive this Spirit. Christ, God sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for sinners, of whom we are. For in Adam fell, brought sin upon the whole Adamic human race. By one man's fall, we were plunged into this world of sin. But by one man's obedience, that man is none other than Jesus Christ. By His obedience, who was He obedient to? He was obedient to the Father. For He said, I came down not from heaven to do mine own will, but the will of the Father, which sent me. He came to heaven. He came to this earth. Took upon Him the likeness of man. Bore our sins. Went to the cross. Died there. And was buried, or in the tomb, for 3 days and three nights, and rose once more. Redeemed us. Therefore, He said, if I go not away, then the Comforter, their Spirit won't come. But He went away. I'm thankful for that. That's enough to rejoice in this morning, to know that the Lord left this place, went back to heaven, so the Comforter would come. This Spirit of the Almighty that dwells in us says if we don't have the Spirit, we're none of His. But I see evidence of the Spirit of God working around me all the time in all walks of life, all men of all descriptions. The Scripture says you cannot even say that, acknowledge that Christ is the Lord except by the Spirit. How many people do you know, if you'd ask them, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Would they not say yes? So therefore we cannot worship God in the flesh, but in the Spirit. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the laws of God. Though I see men in this world today trying to worship God in the flesh, trying to make this flesh good enough, perfect enough, to be housed in heaven's pure world. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that the flesh is not. There's nothing that you can do to the flesh that would make it perfect in the sight of God. But those that are in the Spirit can worship God. Oh, He said those that worship in the flesh are bound for destruction. They're going to be destroyed. Though they be a child of God, but yet try to worship God in the flesh. For He said every man's works will be tried by fire. The works may be burnt up, but the man will be saved, or the soul. Our works are tried each day by fire. I know the things that I do seem like Satan is against me. Seem like my works are tried. Paul says, when I do good, evil is present. Has this happened to you? Have you tried to do something that you felt was right in your heart and people condemn you for it? I have. Things that I've tried to do over the years, I trust to please God, people condemn me for it. We suffer persecutions. I remember what the Lord told the Apostle Paul, or told Ananias, over about the Apostle Paul. Said he would suffer many things for my name's sake. Have you suffered for Christ's sake? Have you suffered to the point that you just want to throw up your hands and say, I'm done with it. I can no longer go on. Sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I just want to say, what am I doing? But then again, a little small, still voice comes to you and says, press on. Press on for the glory that's in it. Not my glory, but the glory of Jesus Christ. What did I read you in John? It says, pray. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. He will give it to us for the glory of God. We're not to glory in ourselves, but we're to glory in this one that died for us. Glory in His name. One of the old songwriters says, take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. I like to think on that. Take the name of Jesus with you. It's a shield. It's a helmet. It's a sword. It's a spear. These things, you can take the name of Jesus and block all of the fiery darts of Satan. I know that sounds strange that you can take one name, but this is a glorious name. The glorious name of our Lord. It'll give us strength in time of weakness. It'll build us up. I love to be built up in a spiritual way. I love to soar high above this world. If it's just for a few moments of time, to leave the cares of this world and to soar out yonder and think of the beauties and the wondrous workings of our Lord. To be lifted up. As Paul says, to be set in heavenly places in Christ. All these heavenly places. I love to think as a church is a heavenly place. And a refuge. But how we cannot come to the church of the living God and worship Him in spirit and truth unless it is in the Spirit. We're to leave the old flesh outside. We're to come together and soar on high and enjoy the goodness and mercy of our Lord and Savior. The mercies that only we can receive, those that are called the sons of God. And if we're called sons of God, then we're joint heirs with Christ. And we've got an inheritance if we're heirs. An inheritance. There's an inheritance right here. Christ told Peter, said, upon this rock I'll build my church. This rock is none other than Jesus Christ. This church is established on Jesus Christ. It's established in His doctrines and His practice. And they're still holding to it. And they will be to the end of time. Because He said He'd never leave Himself without a witness. We're to be witnesses for Christ's sake. When someone asked us what was the reason and the hope that we have upon our chest or our breast, we're to give an answer. We're to give an answer. Paul says to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Are you ashamed to own the name of Jesus Christ today? Or have you studied to show thyself approved? I have each week people ask me questions concerning the Scriptures. And I try to answer them to the best of my ability. But how can I answer them if I don't read and study? Do you read and study? Do you beg God for guidance, for wisdom and knowledge to rightly divide this word of truth? If not, you ought to. You ought not to be ashamed to give a man an answer or a woman or a child when they ask you a question. I know this brother gets asked questions all the time. He cannot answer unless he studies. He cannot answer unless the divine Spirit of the Lord be upon him and gives him the wisdom and the knowledge. I cannot stand in this place and speak to you of the high name of Jesus unless it's by the Spirit. So we see we depend upon this Spirit. It teaches us all things concerning righteousness and holiness. I believe it's in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter. Paul writes this. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelling in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Have you kept this temple holy, or have you defiled it? You'd say, well, how can you keep it holy? We live in the flesh. I know the flesh is corrupt, but the temple is holy. We're to keep it holy. As I said, keep your body under subjection. Paul says, that I would do, I would not. He was going by the fleshly tables of the heart, what he wanted to do to please the flesh. But he knew that that would defile the temple inside him. There are times when I wanted to do something to please this flesh, but I knew that the temple inside would be corrupt and God would destroy this temple. And brethren and sisters in Christ, I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want my temple destroyed inside it. How's this Holy Spirit? I want it to be kept holy and clean and undefiled, that I might present myself unto Christ a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, that it might be my reasonable service, that I might bring forth that which is glorifying to God, that might bring praise unto his glorious name. That's what I want to do, is keep this temple clean. Is that what you want to do? You know how to keep this temple clean is to do away with the lust of the flesh. Try to keep it in suspension, not let it overtake you. So many times in life I've seen children and men and women follow after the lust of the flesh and not of the temple, not of the spirit, and they become undefiled and they become wicked in their own ways. Children of God, I don't want to see that happen in God's kingdom. I see enough of it in the world today. But to see an old Baptist or one that's pretending to follow after the teachings of Christ go about in the fleshly way and corrupt himself. Oh, it's a sad time in the kingdom of heaven for one lost sheep that's gone astray. But oh, children of God, if you see a brother or a sister in this way, go to him once and talk to him and tell him to repent. Oh, John came out of the wilderness saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Children of God, it's here today, and it's for your benefit. It's for your learning. It's for your pleasure in this world, children of God. We're to repent from the ways of the world and be brought in once more unto this place, that we might sing praises and honor and glory to our God. Children of God, it's a beautiful thing to see a little hungry child come down the old aisles of the old church and beg a home in the church. Oh, it pleases me to see that, because I know that they're doing, that they're holding that old lust of the flesh in suspension and falling after the Spirit, that it might be glorifying to God. All the things that we do in this world, it should be to the glory and the honor of his name and to the uplifting of his kingdom, to keep it holy. Children of God, that's a beautiful sight. It's a beautiful sight to see God's children walking on the streets of gold, drinking from this fountain that flows out of the house of the living God, a fountain of living waters, because we thirst. Did he say over there, I said, blessed them that are thirsty, for they shall be fed and drink. Blessed are they that hunger, for they shall be fed. Have you come hungering for the gospel to be preached? I know I have. Sometimes I can't wait till the next meeting day where I can gather with God's children somewhere in this great country of ours, where we have the privilege of meeting and worshiping God without fear of the law around us or persecution as the old apostles did in that day. We have persecutions, but not as we have in that day. We ought to be thankful for this country that so graciously allowed us to worship God in spirit and truth. How glorious it is to see these children come forth to do that which is pleasing unto God. For that's what our, if I might say this, our mission in life is. Is to please our Maker. Because we owe everything to Him. He owns everything. He owns us. He owns all of the cattle and the gold of Ophir and the cattle on seven hills. We owe him our next breath of life. So we're subject to him. Let us be subject to him in the spirit, because the flesh is not even subject to the laws of God. But we are, because if we dwell in the flesh, I mean in the spirit, we're subject unto him and unto his commandments. One of the commandments is to love one another. Do we do that? We might say we do, but do we go out tomorrow and say, well, I don't like him, or I hate him? We're to love our enemies. We're to love those that persecute us. This is pleasing unto God. I know it's a hard matter to do. It's a hard matter to put this fleshly feelings on hold. But we're to try. We're to do our best to please God and to walk worthy of the calling. For we have been called. We've been called out of darkness. For once we were Gentiles, having no hope. But we've been grafted in, brought into the family of God. We're a blessed nation. We're a blessed people. We've been given so much love and so much mercy. We've also been given instructions. We've also been given this written word that we're to read and study. And it teaches us how we ought to act, how we ought to live, how we ought to treat our fellow brethren and our sisters. It teaches us all things. It's complete. There's nothing left undone. It's complete. Same as the gospel being preached to you. The gospel brings to life, the light. The light into life. You have the life, but the gospel brings the light. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, but we're to present our bodies. I trust this morning that you've presented your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, because you're alive in Christ. Present those live bodies, those spiritual bodies, holy and acceptable. Keep it undefiled. And may God bless you and keep you. As you go on about your way in life, think upon these things. Always keep in mind being subject unto this law of God and of Christ. For we're subject to something, whether it be in the flesh. We're subject to the laws of the land. We're subject to nature. The things of nature we're subject to. But let us be subject unto the laws of God, because that's where our help comes from. The law out here doesn't give us help. Nature didn't give us help. But God gives us help, strength, and guidance. May your feet walk in these old paths. May you let your light shine. Hide it not under a bushel basket, but hold it up where men can see that you stand for something in this world that is more precious than gold or silver or glory or honor. Hold your light up that you might shine unto men, that they might say, there goes one that trusts in the Lord and follows in his teaching. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you, Brother Gene. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. What you told us there.
Brother Gene's been telling us about the warfare between the flesh and the spirit. Scripture says one is contrary to the other. And we're exhorted to run the race with patience and fight the good fight of faith. And it's a continual battle that we have to fight. You can't hear that? The strength, the subject matter that we have is pretty much related to what Brother Gene was saying. He was in the 8th chapter of Romans, and I have a text here, if I have one this morning. It's in the 6th chapter of Romans. And we, like Brother Gene, desire an interest in your prayers while we stand before you for a few minutes. But in this 6th chapter, the apostle begins, he's been discussing justification in the 5th chapter. He has established earlier in the earlier chapters that both Jew and Gentile are all under sin, and that we're not justified by the deeds of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And he proved that Abraham was justified by faith before the law was given, and so that Abraham was a father not only of those under the circumcision but also the uncircumcision. And so he establishes that we are justified by the blood of Christ before the bar of God in a legal sense, in a judicial sense. And we are justified by faith in our conscience when we believe that. When we believe that Jesus died, shed his blood, and reconciled us unto God, then when we come to the knowledge of that truth and believe it, it's sealed to us by the Spirit, and then we are justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's when peace comes to the conscience, to the mind, to the soul. It's when we are blessed by the grace of God to realize that Jesus, that God has reconciled us unto himself by his Son, Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul, in speaking on that subject, said that, brethren, we beseech you by the mercies of God to be ye reconciled unto God. And so he was talking to brethren. He was not telling them to be reconciled to God by believing the gospel, that is, not to become the children of God by believing the gospel, but because they had been reconciled by the death of his Son, then they were to be justified in their conscience by faith, by believing that doctrine that was delivered unto them. And so, after he establishes that we are justified by faith, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Didn't really mean to read that much, but it's hard to stop. It's all so connected together. So the apostle then, he had been accused, as he said previously, that by some, said slanderously, they had accused him of preaching that we should sin, or it was all right to live in sin, because we were not under the law, but under grace. And that since we are saved by grace, in sinning we just prove how great grace is. And he said that of course, that God forbid that we should do that we should deliberately sin to try to establish that we're saved by grace. And he said that how can he that is dead to sin live any longer therein? And as you says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So Paul says that, as Brother Gene pointed out, he said that if a man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But he says, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if we have been given the ability to believe the grace of God, if we have been delivered to this doctrine that he referred to, he said that we had obeyed, the ones he was writing to had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which they had been delivered to. And so in believing this doctrine, Paul